Welcome to WP Coffee Talk. Thank you to our sponsor, Helix Managed WordPress Hosting, for both their sponsorship and hosting our site, WPCoffeeTalk.com. Now on to our episode. Welcome to the next episode of WP Coffee Talk. I'm here on a lovely Saturday afternoon in Rochester, New York, talking to one of my new friends, Tim McKenna. You and I met just about a week ago at WordCamp Kent, where we were both speakers, and that was it was a really good camp. I don't know about you, but I really enjoyed it.
It was really good.
Yeah, it was fantastic. And it was great to get to know people outside of my region. So when I speak at camps here in Western New York, I know a lot of people. I go to Ohio or Pennsylvania or someplace else. It's like I get to meet a whole new group of people in our community, which is always exciting. So it was great to meet you, and I'm so excited to have you on the show today.
Thank you so much.
So let's see. You're Tim McKenna. You live in Pennsylvania, I think.
Yes, I live in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, smack dab between Pittsburgh and Philadelphia.
Oh, okay. Very good. Right in the middle then, huh? That's awesome. So tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Cool. So my official title is Director of Experience Design at Pennsylvania Interactive. Most people, when they first hear that, there's like a blank stare, like, what do you do? Depending on the type of conversation I'm having with folks, it's either I help to create solutions, or on most days it feels like I'm a cat herder because I'm just helping to get people to do things all the time. And being in the WordPress community, I think we all share some of that mentality a little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah. So on the good days, I tell people that, you know, I help to create solutions. So I am actually more in the executive suite. So I actually help to create the digital strategy for all of our products and services at Pennsylvania Interactive, which only works for one client, the Pennsylvania state government. So we only create products and solutions and digital services for the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And it's a pretty interesting role because Pennsylvania has been a really big supporter of the open source community, and we have a number of sites that are running on WordPress. Most people wouldn't even think that are, in particular, pa.gov, complete homegrown WordPress site.
So I love that.
It's pretty cool. I manage a team of designers, front-end developers. I have a content strategist and a data scientist, and we try to solve problems for citizens. We go out and do research with citizens of Pennsylvania and try to figure out what is it about state government that really works for you? What is it about state government that doesn't work for you? Is it solutions? Is it policies and whatnot? We try to figure out from folks what it is that is impeding them in their tasks so that we can then create solutions that make more sense and help them go on their merry way. And WordPress has been an amazing tool for us to do a lot of what we're trying to do with connecting citizens together in a way that, you know, really couldn't do with other technologies in a lot of respects.
So I want to throw in like a semi-joke here. What does the government think when you tell them that something like an open source community is free? Because they're not used to free things in the government. They're used to paying $10,000 for a hammer or whatever, right?
That is so true. Government procurement is a little bit of a finicky animal. They're like, free equals not good, so we can't do that. But there has been a big shift in understanding what technology is, what it can do, and the price point of it. So, you know, I look at 18F, which is a digital agency based in Washington, D.C., and they're part of the United States Digital Services, and they use a lot of open source technology from WordPress, from Drupal, other homegrown things that they then create and then open source themselves. So at the state government level, which are still kind of behind the times in procurement and what technology are out there, because the big thing that drives them is security as well. We usually talk about like the value, and then what they end up working with us is like, well, so the technology's free, but you know, the maintenance and making sure all that stuff. So there is a human component that still gets paid for all of that. But if we're not saddled with, you know, super expensive licensing fees that allow us to create our own interdependencies with plugins and themes, most of the state government now is like, wow, there's a lot of power, a lot of value here. So then it goes from a conversation of, oh, we don't want to use that, to, oh, what if we did this? Which is single-handedly the most awesome sentence and also the most scary at the same time.
I was going to say, it sounds terrifyingly amazing.
Bingo.
That's awesome. So you don't work, you work for the government as a contracted agency then? You don't work directly for the government?
Yeah, I'm not a Commonwealth employee. I don't actually work for the government. So I am a private, I work for a private company called Pennsylvania Interactive, which is part of a larger organization called NIC, which is based out of Kansas. They are the beast that manages and creates digital government at state, federal, and local level. And we have an office in Pennsylvania, and we have about 30 other offices across the nation. And they're all their own little separate companies that are part of NIC. So Pennsylvania does a little bit things differently than South Carolina or Wisconsin or New Mexico. So it's pretty fantastic.
That's awesome. Now, little aside here, not WordPress related, but I don't think most people realize that when we talk about the 50 United States, some of them aren't technically states. Like, you're talking about the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Massachusetts is also a Commonwealth. And technically they are states, but they're also Commonwealth. So it's an interesting thing that a distinguishment between some of our states that call themselves that. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's interesting. And then you have, you know, U.S. territories, you know, Puerto Rico and U.S. Virgin Islands. I mean, we have, you know, some presence there from a federal side. So it's kind of interesting. But yeah, so like when you think of states, they're like, what's this Commonwealth business? You're like, well, sounds a little bit differently, but same concept.
So maybe we just helped somebody win Jeopardy by throwing that little tidbit out there.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. What's a Commonwealth? could be a good answer.
So, you know, everybody knows by now, we've been doing the show for a little while, that I ask everybody, show me their mug.
Yes.
So let's see your mug.
And get this pretty close to my screen here.
Academy
of Family Physicians.
What's the story?
So when I made the transition from being a print-based graphic designer and marketing person, I went really full bore into web design and web development. And the first place that I ended up working at in 2012, where I made the switch, because I had already been working for over 8 years in like marketing, you know, strategy, and then made a switch, and I was like, all right, I'm a new web designer, developer, what's the difference? I don't know. And I found this position in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, with the Pennsylvania Academy of Family Physicians. They were looking for a digital designer that knew like print, knew how to make magazines or digital magazines. I was like, cool, I've done both of those things. So, and you know, and they were looking for someone who's kind of like a catch-all for everything. And I spent 2.5 years there doing amazing work in the primary care, healthcare association field. So I was part of a small organization that created learning opportunities for family physicians, advocacy groups for family doctors, private practice, and you know, larger hospital systems. And I built one of the first major massive WordPress products at the PAFP. And what I like about this mug is that it's super corporate-y. It's got like the blue marble-y thing, and it's super corporate. But what I like about it is that it's deceptively large. I have a Keurig downstairs, and when I put like the 10 ounces in there, there's still enough room for a cream and extra. I'm like, oh, I'm going to pop this off some more. It holds the heat really well. So like, I like my coffee like scalding hot. Like, everyone thinks that like I'm a glutton for punishment, but like I want my coffee about a half hour later not to be cold. So this thing keeps the heat pretty well. And yeah, I've just had it ever since.
Oh, that's awesome. I love everybody's mug story. So I've reused mugs between different episodes, but I have a new mug I'm going to show today. So This is, I graduated from Roberts Wesleyan College here in Rochester, New York in 1991. And somewhere in all this red writing is my name too.
Oh, no way. That's super cool.
Yeah, so that's the whole class is here. I don't know where mine is particularly, but it's on there somewhere. And, you know, if I had my bifocals on right now, I could see it better.
That's so awesome. They made that mug with all the graduates. That's great.
Yeah, and there's this little gold around the top and everything. I try not to put it in the dishwasher, but I had this sitting on a shelf for, well, it's been over 30 years since I graduated, or almost 30 years since I graduated, and I didn't ever want to use it because I was like, it's going to get ruined, you know, all the gold's going to come off, whatever. And then one day I thought, what am I waiting for? You know, why am I not using the things that I own? One of my blogs is called The Daily Bedhead. If you want a really good laugh, you get a picture of what I look like when I wake up and a story of my life. And one of them was called, you know, about using the things that we have and enjoying the things that we own instead of kind of protecting them for what? Like, my daughter's going to want this someday? I don't think so. I may as well enjoy it. I have coffee with cream and sugar in my mug. Are you enjoying coffee today?
I am, and this might throw some people for a loop. I have maple bacon coffee.
I must find this. Where did you get maple bacon coffee?
I heard this actually from some of the folks in WordCamp Baltimore earlier this year. Bones Coffee Company, a little plug out to them. They have some really crazy cool flavors. And
I saw
maple bacon, and I was just like, you have my attention. So I thought this could be horrible, or this could be like mind-blowingly amazing.
And?
Thankfully, it was the latter. So I am a big fan. So I have a little cream, a little sugar in it, but making me hungry for bacon, actually. So might be on the menu, a little BLT action later. So
there you go. You know, or a burger with a little bit of a crisscross of some bacon over the top.
Can't go wrong.
for sure. I mean, talking food, I should have had a food blog or a food podcast, probably. I love food. Anyway, tell us how you got started with WordPress. What's your WordPress origin story?
Oh, man. I actually remember this pretty clearly because I was in class. So went to school a little bit later, you know, right after high school. I was a professional musician for a number of years and then learned about design, and that's the truncated way. So I went to school in Philadelphia in 2006, 2010, and I remember it was my last year in school. We had a web design class. I say web design because it was basically Adobe Dreamweaver, and I really teach anything else really about CSS or, you know, really about HTML. It was like, oh, hey, kid, here's the thing, you might need to learn it. And I just remember having a really tough time with, like, understanding, because I really wanted to learn stuff from a code perspective, not so much the design perspective, because, like, I could design a site pretty easily, and but I didn't know how to actually make it work in, like, the internet. Like, how do I take my idea and make it work on a screen? So what happened was, in 2009, I was staying in Philly, and I usually would go back home to Harrisburg and for the summer and, you know, work my tail off to pay for school the next semester. But I stayed in Philly, and I got a job, I guess they were like a tech design firm, but it was out of some dude's garage, and it was kind of weird. Well, he had a bunch of WordPress sites that he was managing, and I was like, just hungry for any opportunity to learn how to do anything with code. So he knew that I had some design skills, and I was working with that, and I was learning how to translate what I knew in design into CSS. And at the time, so this is 2009, I can't even remember what version of WordPress was out, but I remember, like, looking at the admin dashboard, like, petrified. I was like, what did I get myself into? I wanted to run for the door because I was like, did I talk myself in? So I befuddled my way through that through the summer. And then once I had class, I was starting to learn a little bit more. And then I had a freelance client that knew almost exactly nothing about WordPress. I had spent that year pretty much the same way. So I was like, let's learn together. And I think it was at that time I was like watching lynda.com, like something fierce, and I was watching like Intro to WordPress, and I was like, okay, now it's starting to click. So from there, just been using WordPress for personal sites, for professional enterprise sites, and now that I'm more less practitioner, more management, I'm helping to set up the strategy with WordPress. So I think about those early days of being terrified of the admin, you know, dashboard, and now like being like it's an old hat. I'm like, wow, this is I'm adulting. Like I'm getting somewhere.
I think that's awesome. And I think a lot of people don't know that even the dashboard, the admin dashboard, you can modify it for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm actually pretty particular. I always change it for myself. And they're like, what did you do? Did you break everything? I'm like, no, it's just for me. Oh, that's cool.
But I don't want it to be red. Don't worry. Yours isn't.
Yeah, yours isn't. I'm like, why is yours so like different? I'm like, because it's mine. And they're like, mine's not going to be that way, is it? I'm like, no, do what you want.
Screen options are a wonderful thing too.
Fantastic.
Yes. It's like, I don't need to see all of that. Just take it away. That's awesome. I love that. I love that everybody's story is a little different too, that we've all kind of stumbled into it a little bit differently. As soon as you said Adobe Dreamweaver, I started to have flashbacks to like a previous life. Yeah. Like the nightmare times of, oh my God, I forgot to FTP that one thing or update that, and then FTP it again. And every page had to be FTP'd in the menu. And oh my goodness, I'm thinking back to those days. I was like, how did we ever manage, you know? Which brings me to the other part though, is the first time I built a WordPress website, I built it on a sandbox on my own server. And then I went to upload it to the other server. And I just thought you downloaded it and uploaded it like you did with Adobe Dreamweaver. And I was like, there's no site there. And I had no idea that there were these databases and everything else. And so I ended up rebuilding the entire site because I didn't know there was a better way to migrate it. Mm-hmm. So yeah. So live and learn, folks. Don't do it the way I did it.
Yeah. So like it was a very strange time that, you know, when I first started getting into WordPress, because we had another class, which was building interactive sites with Flash.
Ooh, and I remember Flash.
That was the cool slick thing to do, because like that was like the designer's mindset, like, oh, I could design all this thing out in Flash, you know, it's great. And then that, I think it was like 2008 is when Apple, like when Steve Jobs came out and said, look, we're not going to support this at all. And then everyone was just like, what do we do now? So then like, you know, other things were starting to come out. JavaScript was still like an alien word to a lot of people, and they're like, it looks like ActionScript but doesn't function like it. So it was a very strange, confusing time. And then I think with you know, kind of WordPress coming to play, like, wow, you can do interactive sites, you've got a dashboard, you've got this, and if I can use Microsoft Word, I can create a blog post. It's like revolutionary. So
yeah,
I mean, it was cool that that really started to kind of, you know, build out. And I have, you know, friends of mine who are like, oh, I'm using these other things. I'm like, yeah, cool. But you have a lot of work to do. I can just write. And they're like, they were like converts afterwards.
Yeah. You do keep doing that mind blown, like, whoa. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't remember which, I think it was Tim and Eric Fun show where there was like the gift from that, like the guy's mind blown all the time. I feel like I use that in my Slack channel at work all the time.
I've seen it on quite a few WordCamp talk slides as well, which is always fun. It's like, I know that meme.
That's awesome. Pretty sweet.
that GIF or JIF, whichever side of the Mississippi you're on and however you say it. But
yeah. I don't know what I would. Yeah. GIF? I don't know. I'm a strategist. I can't spell. I can't talk. I can barely math as it is. So... Okay. I hire really smart people around me, and I'm like, ah, sure, that sounds great. So
that's the smartest thing to do ever, for sure.
Absolutely.
Well, I know that those of us who have been in the field a little while, we see, you know, hundreds and thousands of sites over time. If you had to think about all the things you've seen, and what's like one or two things that you think people kind of miss the mark on, they don't include or they neglect on putting on a site that would make that site better or easier to use?
Well, I think the big thing that is kind of missed is understanding accessibility in a lot of respects. I mean, understanding accessibility and also having like a privacy policy, you know, the two things that are not the most, slick or the most, attractive things about a site. But I think those are two things that a lot of sites, especially if you're doing anything commercial, that you need to have baked in a lot of respects. So I have a unique perspective with, working relationship with making sites and applications are accessible because federal government mandates for government agencies to make sure that you're complying with Section 508 WCAG 2.0 AA standards. That may be a completely alien term that I just threw out there for some folks. Like, what did you say?
Excuse me?
The web accessibility standards, it has been a standard now that a judge, a federal judge in Florida in 2017, is actually mandated as a standard for federal agencies to make. Like, so if you're not following those, you can get sued as an agency. And there is watchdog groups that look out for that. So, but on the commercial side, the private side, you have the Americans with Disabilities Act also talks a lot about, accessibility for digital products. There's really no watchdog group out there. You might have certain smaller groups or individuals, but to be enforceable, there's really not much teeth in that game. So I am a big supporter, a big advocate for an open web that everyone can use. So I always think about making sure that everything that we do has to have accessibility baked in, is understandable, is usable from a user's perspective, and we can't just rely on, certain tools, certain Chrome extensions and things to make it. You have to really test it, work it out. So I think for a lot of folks, that if they do just a little bit of homework, if they can do just a few things to improve their site and just get a little bit more familiar with what a web accessibility is, regardless if you have a commercial site, an enterprise site, or just a simple blog that you're talking about your cat outfits that you've set up for the week. I mean, those blogs are cool as well. If you want to reach a wide audience, just doing a couple things, simple things that you can do to make your site more accessible for folks. I don't know the one thing that makes me head meets concrete wall, but I tell some people, like, alt text. Just add a descriptive alt text to your image, and then you would be surprised just by that one thing how much more it makes your site usable. And I tell this to folks a lot of times, and they're like, what do I put? Do I just put picture? I'm like, describe it. So now a lot of people may not be familiar with that. I mean, it's the one thing that in the editor, in the media, in the media window that most people kind of like skip over a good bit. But I tell folks in the Commonwealth, like, make sure that you're doing these things. They're like, wow, this is really easy. Why didn't I see that? And that makes me wonder, like, what if we can do to improve the WordPress editor? Mm-hmm. The other part of that is privacy policies. I mean, a lot of JavaScript eking around the web, making its way through stuff. And, GDPR, came out a couple years ago. Is still not a thing that the U.S. kind of like recognizes and really has an enforceable thing for it. So I think that just, having a plain language privacy policy, like, you come to this site, we are going to agree to these things, and then we're not going to do these things with you. Mm-hmm. You don't have to make it sound like legalese. You don't have to make it sound like a lawyer wrote it. Just be like, hey, by coming here, we're going to collect this much information on you. And then that's it. Just having that would make a lot of people's sites just way more secure in respect that, hey, you're not going to possibly get, litigation against you, and that you also start to build trust. When you have those privacy policies and you have building accessibility, like, wow, those things, if you have those, great. People are going to feel a little bit more trustworthy about, like, what you're putting out there. So those are two things I harp on a good bit. It's part of my cat herding capabilities, is I feel like I repeat myself all the time.
That's okay. It's a good thing, though, if it's helping people remember to do that. So yes. I think that's a wonderful thing. And I agree, there's got to be a way to, like have reminders or something. At the very least, we should be putting out checklists for people that say, not only do you have a, you know, a footer statement, and do you have a 404 page and all this other stuff, but have you made it accessible at the very least?
Yeah, I've joked around, but I'm actually now thinking that I might actually make this as make an accessibility plugin that every time that you don't have an image that doesn't have an alt text or certain color contrast, you're just going to see random little GIFs appear on your page of from the office where you're just like, no, God, no. Like, it's just going to show up on your page. And you're like, okay, fix this. So you don't have Steve Carell showing up on your page all the time.
Or maybe the one from Office Space where he's like, yeah, if we could put an alt tag on here, that'd be great.
That would be fantastic.
That's one of my favorite memes.
So good.
we'll work together on something. I don't program, but I'll come up with the material
all,
for you.
I think if anyone else is listening and wants to be a part of this, I'll make set up a GitHub project for all of us to work on it.
I love it. That's awesome. What's something that you wish that you knew when you started working with WordPress that you know now that would have made life a little bit easier?
Oof, man, there's still so much I wish I knew about WordPress.
Well, that's another question for later in the talk.
But, man, one of the things I wish I knew, you know, one of the things that I think took me a long time to really wrap my head around was theme development, understanding how to write themes in a way. I have gotten pretty good at that at this point. Now that I'm writing them less and less and just doing more of like, you know, strategy for stuff, like I feel like those skills are starting to get away from me again. But yeah, it was like writing, like again, like how do I, you know, write a theme? Like how do I design stuff? That if I would have known how easy it was back in the day, like, it would have made my life so much easier instead of trying to like do all sorts of crazy stuff in the HTML window and the pages. And I was like, wow, I'm really breaking this. But I think it was, I give Morten Rand Hendrickson, I give him a big shout out for this, because when I first learned how to do creating your own theme, I watched his course on lynda.com. It was like the giant light bulb, like, oh, that's how you. And I swear, I was like, if I could get in a time machine, go back and be like, do it this way, I totally would do that. Everyone thinks, oh, that's the thing you go back in time for? I'm like, yeah, I'm saving so much headaches.
That's what it would be. That's awesome. I know you've spoken at WordCamps, and you probably attended meetups and things like that. When you think of attending WordCamps, meetups, speaking at those things, what's, you know, an event or a speaker or a moment at any one of those kinds of community events that just rises up to the top as a real either turning point or an aha or the light came on kind of inspirational moment?
Well, yeah, you're right. I go to a lot of WordCamps, probably go to like 4 or 5 a year, go to a lot of meetups. And then even outside of the WordCamp, the WordPress community, I go to a lot of design conferences and business ones. And I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit here, because of all the talks that I like to go and listen to, the ones that really inspire me, the ones that like get my heart pumping and like fill me with fire, are the ones about, you know, self-care and taking a step back and like realizing you don't have to be the unicorn. You just need to be the best version of you. So your keynote at WordCamp Can Ohio was like, that was for me, like that set the tone for the rest of the weekend. And it just really filled me with a lot of like, oh my God, like, I know that I say this to a lot of people, but then like having you talk about that and making sure that like we're all like taking care of each other, we're taking care of ourselves. That's really, I think, the crux of community. I mean, I've been to so many developer tracks where I kind of understand what they're talking about, and other times I'm just like, yeah. I've been to so many design things. I'm like, I know the practical, the tactical, and strategic side, but I think that there is a cadre of folks who are like, you know what, all that stuff is great, but if things aren't going well in your life, things aren't going well at home or for your health or anything, like address that. I'm a big advocate in mental health, and I think that it's a topic that's not talked about enough in all sorts of business industries. And when folks are brave enough to come up and talk about some of their own history, and then also be brave enough to reach out and talk with people and like let you know like there's other things that are out there to help you, that to me is the one thing that's just like, man, that is like enough fuel, that's enough fire, that's gonna keep me going 110 miles an hour. So those are the things that I really appreciate. And again, like your talk on the first day was just like, I was super pumped after that. And that was the one thing everyone asked me when I came back to the office, like, what was the new cool tech thing? And I was like, I'm going to go a different route. How are you guys doing? How are you all working? Let me know what I can do to help you. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that's switched up from WordCamp? That's really cool. I'm like, that's this community. I feel like there's been a lot of, you know, really big advocates for that. It's something that I appreciate a great deal. So thank you for your.
Well, thank you. Kind of on those same notes, a few years, well, 10 years ago, maybe now, my daughter had come to me and said, you got to listen to this song, Mom. It was a song by Jack's Mannequin. And a lot of people my age have never heard of Jack's Mannequin. But the lead singer of Jack's Mannequin had gone through leukemia in his early 20s. Wow. And he wrote this ballad called Swim.
Okay. And
I can never think of all the lyrics, but it's talking about you have to swim for your life because waves come crashing. They pull you away from the people you love. Mm-hmm. Just keep your head above. And she said to me, I know he wrote this song. This was, she was like 15. She goes, I know he wrote this song about leukemia, but it sounds like single parenting to me. And I was like, oh my gosh, she understands that this hasn't always been easy, that it's not easy to be the mom, and it's not easy to be the mom and the dad and mm-hmm. have all those things that he played. And so I have a tattoo on my foot that says, just keep your head above.
Wow.
Because it's a reminder to myself that I don't have to walk on water.
Mm-hmm.
I just have to keep breathing. So when you said you don't have to be the unicorn, I was like, oh, that just resonates so well with me. That's pretty cool.
That's fantastic. That's super cool. Your daughter had that insight listening to that. I'm like, oh, I can make a correlation here. Yeah. Kind of similarly, I was going through like a really bad, really, really bad breakup, really just like dark time. Like in that summer of 2009, where I was trying to figure out where, you know, web and everything, the internet. And there was a song that is very unbrand Tim. Like, I listen to a lot of hardcore, a lot of metal. I'm usually the guy, you know, who's like, here, give my wife, here's my glasses. I'm going to go in the pit and just, you know, have craziness. But I remember I was sitting in a little cafe outside of UPenn, and the song Move Along by All American Rejects is super kind of poppy, little pop rocky type of feel. But for some reason, as I was sitting there and I was having a coffee and just like, you know, feeling bad about myself and just everything, I heard that song and I was listening to all the lyrics. And I'm like, just keep going? Like the whole thing, move along. And I was like, wow. And it's today, like it's still like when I'm having a crappy day, I will put that song on and it makes me. Just reminds me to keep moving. And I actually have a post-it note among the forest of post-it notes in my office right above my computer. It just says move along. And I've had that same one for the last three jobs. So I just keep bringing it with me.
Yeah.
And so it's, I think that's the one, you know, tying that back to the WordPress community, meeting all the folks at WordCamps, at the meetups, you know, there's always been a sense of real community. You know, we leave the business stuff at the door. Sometimes we technically work for competitors or whatnot. We usually leave all the stuff at the door and make sure that we're all doing well. And we leave, you know, from those events just super inspired. So it's pretty cool.
I think of WordCamps as like my mountaintop moments throughout the year.
Yeah.
You know, last year I attended 9 camps last year and I spoke at 8 of them. And it was like having, and I went through a pretty hard year last year. And you heard some of that in my talk, you know,
yeah.
I moved out. I've been going through divorce and all those kinds of things. And I'm open about it because I mean, it's reality, right?
Yeah.
But having those WordCamps and those mountaintop moments, and some of my closest family are people in the WordPress community that aren't related to me by blood anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I like to talk about the fact that, and I don't know if I've mentioned on the show before, that when I moved out, I just posted on Facebook. I'm like, I'm moving on the 25th. If anybody can come help, 15 people came to help me, and 13 of them were from the local WordPress community.
Fantastic.
That's phenomenal. That's phenomenal. Yep. So we're a pretty amazing group of people, I think.
I totally agree.
I'm just honored to be a part of it. So that's awesome. I love that. I love being able to talk about the mental health issues and things like that too. And one thing that, you know, years ago, as I was dealing with depression for the first time in my life, I was talking to a friend and I was telling her, and she's kind of extreme right-wing Christian. And I'm a Christian too, but she takes it a little bit further than I do. And she said, well, whatever you do, just don't let them put you on medication because God can heal you. And I said, well, didn't God make medication? And she said, what do you mean? I said, well, if you had pneumonia, would you not take antibiotics because God can heal you? Mm-hmm. And she said, well, no, I'd take antibiotics. I said, well, I have a chemical imbalance in my brain right now that's causing depression, so I'm going to take the medication that God has somehow provided to me, if you want to look at it in a, you know, in a theological way, and that's going to make me feel better the same way the antibiotics make you feel better if you have pneumonia. So I agree. We have to absolutely destigmatize, you know, mental health issues and stress, anxiety, you know, depression. Those are all part of every community, and especially in the community we work in, because so many people work remotely and work alone. They're either freelancing or they're working remotely on a team, and it can feel pretty isolating. And there's a lot of ways that we can reach out to one another and just do those check-ins. So thanks for bringing that up. And I'm glad you enjoyed the talk.
No, it was, I remember going back to my hotel room that night. So which session was like, the greatest? I'm like, the first one was fantastic. And we had a great conversation that night at dinner about everything. So yeah, no, it's, I think those talks are continuing to grow. I think the stigma is starting to lessen a little bit. And I mean, between all the different types of conferences and stuff that I go, I'm starting to see that become more normal, accepted, and appreciated. So
yeah.
I think we're on the forefront of this movement becoming much more, you know, part of our lives.
I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. So, and now we'll be part of the same team of people that reaches out and says, hey, how you doing? And that's awesome.
Absolutely.
I want to move into what I call my rapid fire questions. Of course, as people hear me say every time, you don't have to answer them rapidly. I'm just going to ask them rapidly, but take your time to answer.
Cool.
Okay. So the first question is, if you were to give recommendations or advice to somebody building their own site, whether it's the first time or not, what are two or three plugins that you would recommend that they use?
Ooh, good one. All-in-one WP migration has been my go-to, been my jam. If you were doing local development and then you want to move it to a stage or a production, I like that one because it's just set it and forget it, to quote Ron Popeil's Showtime or Rotisserie Cooker. It's super easy to use. I recently moved. I did some freelance work because I wanted to make sure I was still competent as a web developer. I did some freelance work, and I did a massive redesign, rebuild of a medical device company's website, and tons of stuff. And I used WP, all-in-one WP migration to move everything over, and it was fantastic. So all-in-one WP migration, WP accessibility, that's another one too. Simple plugin, fixes a lot of things that you know, may happen between all your configurations. We'll also give you a good list of what you're still missing. And then enable media replace. That one is a super great one because like I sometimes have to go through a whole bunch of especially like commercial sites and like enterprise sites, just finding that instance of that image and then replacing it and, you know, making sure that the URLs all work. So That one's been a godsend. So yeah, WP accessibility, enable media replace, and actually that one actually may be baked into core now if I think about it. And then all-in-one WP migration. Those are the three that I'm like, oh, okay, cool, new instance, setting up these three.
That's awesome. I hear a lot of people quote Ron Popeil with the set it and forget it, with the rotisserie, whatever. Just once I want to hear somebody quote something about the pocket fisherman. Do you remember that stupid little?
I do remember. Oh,
I show my age so many times on this show.
Oh, that's so great.
Now I gotta go watch the commercial, see if there's anything quotable about it. At any point in your WordPress journey, whether right when you were starting out or at any point in time, have you had a WordPress mentor or somebody who mentored you in your career, and who was it?
A WordPress mentor. So he'll probably be very surprised that I'll name him in this regard, because he might think that, you know, we kind of come up in the industry kind of together. But I have a good friend of mine who's out towards the Lancaster, Pennsylvania area, Dustin Weir. He was one of the first folks that I started talking to at the WordPress Harrisburg meetup group. And he was like me. He was a designer, and he done a lot with WordPress. And he was one that, while we kind of came up in the same industry, he's a couple years older than me, he's been doing this a little bit longer. He's definitely kind of like straddled both work, you know, design development, and he taught me a lot in my first real forays of building like actual WordPress sites. I remember when I built the Meet at Sundown website. This was a website for a southern metal band from Pennsylvania. So geographically, that makes absolutely no sense.
Especially in the Bible Belt.
Yeah. So this was weird. So first time I ever built that site, it was flat, a flat HTML site. Second time I did it, I used like this weird hooked in like CMS thing that just didn't work. Third time, really trying to do it, I built it on WordPress. He helped me a lot with like understanding the theme development process. So he's one of the organizers of WordCamp Lancaster in Pennsylvania. And he comes to a lot of WordCamps, and he's someone I would say has been a mentor for me. And what's great is that, you know, at different times, like I've given him a couple of like, testimonials and stuff for his site. I'm always glad that when he has used me for a reference or anything, because I have nothing but great things to say about Dustin. So he's a local guy, and he's pretty solid.
That's awesome. I love that. So other than Dustin, who's somebody that you admire in the WordPress community, and why?
Man, that's really tough, because it feels like every time I go to a WordCamp or a WordPress meetup, I'm always meeting like cool new people. I'm just like, oh my God, why haven't I met you yet? Like, so it's really tough.
Well, picking one doesn't mean that the rest aren't awesome too.
That's
just
true. Yeah. Probably someone I look up to a good bit, and who I've actually only met like once. And this was like, I was a little starstruck when I met him too. I think he probably was like, he's this weird guy. Like, cause I was like, couldn't like speak. Matt Medeiros. His podcast, Matt Report. I've been listening to that for going on now like 6 years. He has been very much instrumental for me from like the WordPress side of understanding different plugins, configurations, things are going on in WordPress business and community, but also understanding like from the business side of things, like building a WordPress based business, whether it was for me, I freelance, you know, did a lot of side hustles on the side, or like building an entire like company around those things. So Matt has been someone that when I met him at the first WordCamp US in Philly, I had just had like surgery like 2 weeks prior. So I was like doped up on medication. I was just like, all right, I'm gonna go. Probably nothing is gonna stick from this. But I remember meeting Matt, and I was just like, oh my God, it's Matt Pierce. I was like fanboying the whole thing. And I go up to him, and I didn't realize how short he was or how tall I am. I'm 6'9". I am.
Oh my!
Tall, and I have actually made in my WordCamp slides. I'm like, if you ever hear about like people seeing Bigfoot in Pennsylvania, no, it's just me going for a hike. So I walk up to Matt, and I was like, man, he's really short. I'm like, wait, Tim, no, you're a giant. So don't scare this dude. So I walk over to him. Hi, Matt. My name is Tim. Awkward pauses at the whole thing. Hey, cool night. You super eloquent. You super elegant. You super nice. But yeah, I don't think I could have been any more awkward on my part. So But he's definitely one I would say is a big mentor. Hopefully the next time I run into him at a work camp, I'll be like way more intelligently speaking, like, hi, man. So
I just interviewed Josh Pollock from Caldera Forums the other day.
Yeah.
And I was telling him, he's a friend of mine now. We've like, you know, we go way back kind of thing, and we talk each other all the time. But when I first met him, we were friends on Facebook. When I first met him face to face,
yeah,
I was like, cool, calm, collected on the outside, and inside I'm going, oh my God, that's just and he's like, me? I'm like, yes, you. So I totally get that. That's so cool. And I'm only 5 foot tall, so everybody's tall to me. So what's something that you want to learn in WordPress that you haven't tackled yet?
Probably the biggest thing on my plate right now that I haven't tackled yet, though I've told all my staff, hey, learn this, is React. I want to learn how to build Gutenberg blocks. And I realize Gutenberg is still super new and there's still a lot there, but I really see the potential with this block-based editor type of creating posts, creating sites. So, you know, I muddled my way through JavaScript, and you know, thankfully I have front-end developers way smarter, way knowledgeable, more knowledgeable than I am, and they give it to me at like a 5-year-old like reading level, so I'm like, oh, cool. So I want to learn React for a couple of reasons. There's obviously a big, you know, component of that with WordPress, with a blocks editor. Also, outside of the WordPress ecosystem, React is one of the ones that designers and developers can talk intelligently about together because of reusable components for user interface elements and patterns. Sometimes my work at PA Interactive takes me outside of the WordPress ecosystem, and we see the value that React has outside of that as well. So the way that I see it is, like, if I learn that, cool. I'm going to be way more knowledgeable in, you know, how to do all this stuff. And then bringing it back to WordPress, I'm just like, I'm giddy because I'm like, the stuff that we can do with this. And my team is just like, okay, man, it's time to switch to decaf. But I'm excited for it. So React.
You know, I think that's awesome too, because I think everybody was a little afraid of the Gutenberg, of the block editor at first, because it's just so different than what we're used to.
Yeah.
But yeah. I also remember people like screaming to high heaven because they changed the way Facebook looked. And I don't even remember what it used to look like anymore, because we just get used to it, right? Mm-hmm. It's interesting that the people who are starting in WordPress, so I hired somebody this year, Jeff, he was at WordCamp Camp with me last week.
Yep.
I challenged him to start a blog and blog his first way through WordPress, because he's never been part of the WordPress community before. Wow. And to him, the block editor is just, that's native.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You know, and that's awesome. And I think that also, the more that the plugins we use develop blocks, the mm-hmm. easier it becomes as well.
Absolutely.
So yeah. So if you're building plugins for your sites, mm-hmm. making sure that they're, you know, compatible with the block editor is a huge thing. So yeah.
Yeah, I think for us, our challenge is that, you know, a lot of what we were doing from like security and like sustainability practices, we kept on the classic editor for a while, because like, if we're going to embrace Gutenberg, we're going to go whole hog into it. So we're not going to like try out a few things. Like, so my team and I are really trying to understand how we can take a lot of what we have existing and then put it into using the latest and greatest stuff, so that we can just continue to build on it. I really want my team to be like thought leaders in this. Like, they know how to do this inside and out. I'm encouraging them to like go out to speak at WordCamps. They're like, hey man, you built this great plugin. It does this. Go talk about it. And they're like, I can. I'm like, absolutely. So I think the first one I took them to was WordCamp Lancaster earlier this year. They had a great time. I was like, cool, man. WordCamp Lehigh Valley's coming up, not too far away. How about you guys put some speaker proposals in? And I got two of them yesterday from my folks just to see like what they want to talk about. I'm like, cool. Clock's ticking. Let's get those into the organizers.
That's awesome. I love that you're encouraging people to participate like that. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I think giving them a platform and like letting them share their knowledge, I mean, helps them out.
What could go wrong? I mean, it's a beautiful thing for sure.
Absolutely.
What's your biggest WordPress mistake, and what did you learn from it? This just shows that we all have feet of clay too, right?
Oh yeah. Well, all right. So it's in the WordPress ecosystem, but I think it was more of a mistake of like what I think that I could do and what I could deliver on. So I had this understanding with a certain plugin, NinjaForms. NinjaForms. Great plugin. It's just current jam, and I know how to customize it a good bit. And man, I thought I could create this super cool interaction between NinjaForms and the Acton CRM and connecting that with Salesforce, just daisy chaining everything together. And man, I was wrong. it's not a NinjaForms problem. It's not an Acton problem or a Salesforce problem. It's just that you trying to connect three totally different systems in a super meaningful way that really weren't supposed to be. That was a mistake that I had with a client where I was just like, hey, look, we use NinjaForms, we style all this stuff out. And 2 months into it, after like literally pulling my hair out, and you can see, don't have much hair here, Maury. I was just like, oh my gosh, like this is not going to work. And ended up finding some like documentation. I had to switch out NinjaForms for Contact Form 7. I'm like, cool, this will work. But so it's not so much like a specific WordPress mistake. It was a mistake of like, here's what I could do. Here's what is possible. I didn't do enough research to be like, these two super different systems, there's no integration with each other. So I think that was one where I learned pretty hard, like, hey, before you start talking, why don't you do research more?
I've always been somebody that said, sure, that's possible, and try to figure out a way afterwards, and it isn't always possible.
So that was basically the thing, like, oh, that's great. I got off the call. I was just like, what did I do? Did I do this? So, yeah.
So you learn to say, let me check and get back to you.
Yeah. Now that's probably my go-to strategy for everything. I'm not sure, but I'll get back to you. Even if it's super simple and I know it is, I'm like, wait, I'm going to dot all my I's and cross all my T's before I even say yes.
Well, let me just check. What's your proudest WordPress moment?
Oh, man. I am super happy to talk about this because this goes back to these guys.
Mm-hmm.
2013, I was getting pretty good at this WordPress game, and I was super happy with where I was going with everything. And my boss had this question. What if, so his thing was, what if we had an online community of practice for physicians to be able to go and talk about certain topics? But that has to be done in a way that's HIPAA compliant. They can talk about specific issues. Even if they never talked about personally identifiable information, you could kind of guess we're probably not HIPAA compliant. So for those of you who are on this and what's HIPAA compliant, it's basically your privacy policy every time you go to the doctor, what they can say to share out information. So our boss was like, all right, I want to find a platform. Maybe there's a product out there that we can create our own community of practice. I had to really research what is a community of practice. Really, think of it's like the WordPress community. We're a community in the WordPress practice here. So we looked at a bunch of tools. We looked at a bunch of services. They're all super expensive. And I just remember going to my boss like weekly in the back corner of the boardroom, like, I can build this. And he's like, wait, what? So I was like, yeah, I think I can build this with this with WordPress and this thing I learned about recently called BuddyPress. And I'm pretty sure that we can make it do what we want it to do. So I had gathered some simple requirements, like, look, hosting and stuff. We had our IT guy, he's like, look, I can put this in whatever host, make it super compliant for everything. So cool. Had to be mobile first, so it had to be working like a mobile app. Had to connect with our database in Kansas City for our members to log in seamlessly. And it also had to have chat functionality. So beyond that, like kind of open thing. So inside of 4 months, I designed, tested, and built the PAFP Connect, or the first version of that was called the PAFP Community. It's on the app stores now because we used AppPressor to turn it into an actual like PWA, progressive web app. But what happened was is that we built this online community. We connected all of our doctors, and we had 8,500 members, physician members in Pennsylvania at that time. They were all logged in. They had to do nothing except for just put their regular credentials in and log in. Forums, basically our version of Google Docs was built into this thing. We had chat. We had our own video sharing capabilities. So we built all of this in, and then that year we took our regional medical series conferences and put them all in the community. So I was driving all over Pennsylvania and going to different hospital systems, basically doing what you and I are doing right now, is having a conversation, streaming it through the network. Previously, the medical conferences had an attendance of like 10 people, but nobody wanted to come out to these things. After we were said and done with all six of the conferences, we saw a 1,300% increase in attendance online.
Wow.
I was like, what?
Yeah.
That format ended up changing how they did all of their community meetings in the future. Now they only get together for like big conferences that are, big sponsors and everything. They will go to like Philadelphia or Pittsburgh, but now they do everything online. That then enabled the office to go remote. So they sold their building, and now the entire office has become a remote team because of the platform. So
wow.
That's the proudest WordPress moment. I still talk about it a good bit. I gave a talk at WordCamp Philadelphia in 2014 when the thing was still new. Mm-hmm. It's on WordPress TV. Actually, I just found it the other day. And I was like, wow. And the thing is, it's still out there. It's still, still working with everything. And other academies of family physicians use that as a model to build their own. So that is my most proudest WordPress moment.
That's awesome. Well, congratulations. I can see why that is.
Thank you. I mean, it's like the fact that like we got doctors to not be afraid of using the internet and using something in a way that I've had physicians come back and say, like, we've actually been able to work together on research projects through here that we couldn't do otherwise because we have to use a myriad of other technologies to do it all compliant. Like, we just did it all in here. And I'm like, cool. I'm like, no, like, this is like research into like how to, solve diabetes. I'm like, oh, really cool. So
that's really awesome. Well, congratulations. That's phenomenal.
Thank you.
Yeah, I love the things that we can do, and I love hearing everybody's success stories. They're so, so cool. I mean, even our failures are success stories because we learn from them.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then to hear the real success stories, like, I'm not successful because I failed, but I'm successful because it succeeded, is phenomenal.
I tell people that I built it in WordPress. They are, like, flabbergasted. They're like, wait, you built it in WordPress? And they couldn't believe it. I'm like, yeah, I've had an idea, and that was one of the times where the what if statement was really great.
I love when people go, but isn't that just for blogging? Well, once upon a time. Exactly. What's something on your bucket list?
I'm going to go to Alaska. Sounds pretty mundane compared to most other ideas for bucket lists, but I'd really like to go to Alaska. I really want to go to WordCamp up there, maybe Anchorage or Juneau. Alaska to me is like this mythical, magical, snow-laden land that just sounds like right up my alley because my wife is like, let's go to the beach. And I'm like, okay, cool. Portland, Maine. And she's like, no, like a beach we can sit on. And like, I tell her that with the latitude of areas I want to go to, is anything of Denver and above? And she's like, cool. So Alaska to me is just like, the best, like the jewel of the North. So I really want to go to Alaska and do something cool, whether it's just, be part of the WordPress community up there in some way, go to a conference or just go and just, chill. It's fun. I don't want to go skydiving. I'm afraid of heights. I'm terrified of the ocean. If I can't see where my feet are at in the water, I'm out. So those things, like those are non-bucket list items for me, but traveling in Alaska is like the one place, the furthest north that I'd love to go to.
I'd love to do, on my bucket list is a Alaskan cruise so that you can see everything, from the boat you disembark, whatever the word is, and see different areas along the way, but that you can also see the glaciers and everything from the water.
That sounds pretty cool.
Right? You could probably convince your wife to that.
Yeah, well, I think she'd be, I think that'd be the happy compromise for us. I might suggest this a little bit later. So,
well, when you do and you Facebook Live it, I want a shout out.
Absolutely.
The last question, well, the second to last question is, show or tell us about one of your hidden talents.
Oh, I can tell, because with the show would make me go back downstairs in my office. And, so I used to be a professional musician. I was a professional drummer for a number of years in a hardcore band called From Their Eyes. And this was like right after high school, joined a band of other, starry-eyed musicians who were just like, hey, we just want to play brutal music for brutal people. And they're like super young and, not well-rounded. So we played hardcore, and what was great is that we went on Warped Tour twice, and we played Ozfest once, and people were like, wow, that's really cool. So one of the first things I've learned how to play on drums was Van Halen's Hot for Teacher, and the drums for that are really insane. Like, it is fast, and I remember the first time I bought my set of drums when I was 14. And I played the song once. My friend, who was a bassist, who was just like, hey, man, it's really tough. I remember going to town on it. And all my friends were like, whoa, that's great. And I was like, I can't play it now. Like, I have no idea how to play it. I was like, wow, what did I do? What did I have at 14 that I can't do now anymore? So,
who was I channeling?
Yeah, exactly. I was John Bonham, just like talking in my ear the whole time. So, I played drums for a number of years, and now I just have a set downstairs. It's my workout set. I'm just like, I don't like going to the gym. I'm just going to play some crazy like Slayer or Metallica, and I'm like, oh, okay, I'm exhausted now. I'm good. But that was my crazy hidden talent with drums.
That's awesome. Is there anything else you want to share today before we get to our last and final question?
I just think that this is, this whole format, this podcast is like really super cool. I think that, having this, you putting this together, you sharing this with everybody, it's something that like I love to share what people are doing, share cool work that people are working on. So I'm just like super excited. So like my recent like download of everything was going through WP Coffee Talk. I'm a big fan of like Punk Rock MBA on YouTube. That guy is super cool. He talks about like how bands became big, but he talks about the business side of them and everything. Mm-hmm. And then, I think I was listening to Stephen Gates, the crazy one. I listen to him every morning when I drop my kiddo off at daycare. And I don't know, it's just like all this stuff I listen to is like super inspiring. So I just like try to share it with everybody. I'm like, look at all the cool stuff I'm listening to. Please, everyone, listen to it as well.
So. Oh, thank you. I appreciate you sharing it for sure. Absolutely. So tell everybody where they can find you on social, website. I know actually you said you don't have a website because you work for your subcontractor to the government. But do you have a personal website?
I do have one now. I had to redo it. So my website is a little bit of a funky name. It's called Azrael Group. Anyone who can tell me on Twitter where that name came from, I'll give you a big shout out and put you in a blog post as well. So
after we get off air, I'm going to give you my guess.
Go ahead.
Well, no, I don't want to ruin it for anybody who's tweeting.
There's several sources for it. So.
So I'm thinking it might have something to do with Gargamel.
That's one of them. Yeah. That's definitely one of them. That's the cat. But there's a couple other instances of where the name comes up in pop culture. So if anyone can find out the two other big ones, that'd be cool. So, but yes, people are like, wait. You like the Smurfs? I'm like, I love the Smurfs. So you can find me at azrealgroup.com. That's my own personal site. You can hit me up on Twitter at Azrael Group. That's Azrael Group. I'm actually not on Facebook, but my wife always streams me live, so that's always fun. and she usually tags me for everything. So you can find me on Twitter. You can find me online. Tim McKenna, if you feel like hitting me up on the professional sense, just find me on find me on LinkedIn. And you can also follow some of the stuff that we're doing with our company, NIC, at on Twitter at eGov, E-G-O-V. Some pretty cool stuff that we're doing in the WordPress space coming up in 2021. Yeah, 2020. This is the future.
It is.
So some really cool stuff, and you'll follow some of the stuff on hashtag Beast Mode out of NIC. So some pretty cool things. You can find us there, and yeah, feel free if you want to ever chat, buddy, press, design, drums, just hit me up.
Or just reaching out to one another, make sure we're all good.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's always make sure that we're always in a good place and help each other out.
Absolutely. Well, thanks so much for being here today. I really appreciate it. I'm excited to get your episode up at some point in the future because I don't know right now what my schedule looks like. I just started doubling up, so it threw everything out the window. But
no, just more of this.
And look at how old I am right there, 1991, graduate high school, college. Not high school, college. Very good. Well, thanks for being here today and look forward to connecting with you at a future WordCamp, hopefully.
Thank you so much. I look forward to it as well.
Goodbye to all our fans.
Bye. Bye.